Amen, amen. Good morning, everybody. You guys doing good today? Yeah, feeling good, doing good. Well, I'm glad that you're here with us worshiping, praising Him today. And what we're going to do today is we're going to close out our series, The Struggle Bus. And it's kind of cool the way that God works. I wish I could say that I planned it this way, but like we're coming off of Thanksgiving and, you know, a moment in a week of gratitude and looking to God and all the things that we're doing. And today we're closing out our series by looking at just how much we praise God in the midst of our struggles. And so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the struggles that have weighed heavy upon us, on our church, on our lives, and many, many prayers of struggles that we've looked at and examined. But I think I've shared this throughout. Even though there are many struggles, there has continued to be this attitude of praise that is just so encouraging and so uplifting and so inspiring. And I believe it's something that is what continues us through even though we struggle. And so like I've done every week, we've looked at different prayers. And today what I want to do is I want to look at the praises as well. You can't come up here yet, buddy. You got to wait till later. So we're going to put the some of the praises that have come through over the last year. And so you can just look at some of those praises up there. And I think even just, you know, Michelle was just up here sharing some of the powerful praises that come through, and it's just so encouraging. It says, God keeps showing up for us, even in small ways. I'm grateful for my family, even during stressful seasons. God has protected us. I can feel His peace when I shouldn't. God provided financially when we needed it. I'm thankful for my church family. I praise God for growth, even when I feel weak. I see God working in my kids, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful for this church. It feels like home. And so these are just, you know, the praises that are coming through. Again, in the midst of a lot of what we've been talking about and sharing and the burdens, there's this praise. And one of the strongest themes that came out of the praise was a praise for God's presence. I'm going to kind of show you four themes, four categories of praise that were so powerful that I saw that I hope encourage you as well. But the biggest one was a praise for God's presence. Many thanking God for peace in their anxiety. You can go to the next one. Peace for their anxiety. Praising God and thanking God for His presence in their depression, for comfort in their grief, for patience with their doubts, for strength in their weakness, and just His consistency when everything else seems unstable. Like God's presence in our lives is so, so powerful. And it's remembering that no matter what we're going through, like he's still there. He's still with us. Now, we've been saying this whole time, like, yes, we struggle, and it's better to struggle together. But the most important thing I would say is this, that we got to remember that we never struggle alone, because God is always with us. Through His Spirit, through His Word, He's always with us. And so there's a praise for God's presence. The next category that showed up was a praise for God's provision. And again, we talked about the financial struggles, the financial burden, but in the midst of it, there's also just praise coming out of the church for God's provision. Surprise financial provision, unexpected checks, bills paid just in time, keeping their job during a hard season, new job opportunities, restored income, medical costs being covered, debt paid down, food on the table, and just God's continual provision is showing through. Yes, we're struggling, but God still provides. The next category of praise was just for the relationships that God has placed in our lives, the God-ordained relationships, like even through seasons of relational strain, many people still expressing their deep gratitude and thankfulness for their spouse, for their children, for their parents, for their siblings, for the restored moments of connection, for opportunities to talk, reconcile, and grow, and for protection over loved ones. And this is important because what these praises acknowledge is that there's the gift of family, even when family's complicated. It also acknowledges that the blessing of relationships, even in seasons when those relationships feel strained. Now, along with the praise for personal relationships. There was also so much praise for the church and the church community, and it's, again, so uplifting, and many people saying that they're grateful for the kindness and support of fellow churchgoers, for the different crews and small groups that are offered, for the youth pastor and the leaders of the church, for kids ministry volunteers, just thankful for moments of prayer and comfort and encouragement, the authenticity of the sermons, just the feeling of being seen and heard and safe. And then lastly, for the chance to just serve, grow, and use their gifts within the church. And so it's just powerful. And so like when the struggles on the bus are heavy, here's what praises do. They remind us that we are a church. They remind me, through your praises, they remind me that we are a church full of hope. Yeah, we're going through it, but we put our hope in the one who is victorious over all. And at the end of the day, like we encourage you guys to share prayer, share praises, because in one sense, like, yes, we want to come alongside you and support you and encourage you, but it, man, as your praises come in, it also encourages us and lifts up and fills us up with hope. And so when we are honest about our pain, transparent about our battles, and vulnerable with our fears and humble about our weakness, it leads us to being able to praise God in the struggles. Again, being reminded that we're never alone, right? God is with us. He's for us. He goes before us. He also sends his people to strengthen us and encourage us. And we have his spirit and we have his word to guide us. So what I want to say is, church, thank you. Thank you for being a church who praises God even in the midst of the struggles. And thank you for the reminder to keep praising through the struggles. And I know many of you are doing that, and many of you are praising God through it all, but sometimes, man, when we're going through it, it can be hard to give God praise. And so I wanted that to be a reminder from the church. And then for you, if you're going through it right now and you're really struggling, I want to remind you to keep praising while you're struggling. Because I fully believe that God deserves the same amount of praise in our struggle as he does in our blessing. Amen? Same amount. Because he's still good even in the midst of struggle as he is in blessing. And I was thinking through this, and I was thinking about the moments, you know, when we struggle and when we get to those struggling points, we begin to just, you know, ask these questions, and we go, why? We might start complaining. And oftentimes when we struggle with, get this, we struggle with what we once prayed for. You know what I'm saying? Like we spent time praying for a job, praying for a relationship, praying for a community, and then we enter into that, and then we're in that, and then struggles show up. And what I would say, instead of like sighing through the struggles, we got to remember to praise God. Praise God through them. Praise God for the job that you once prayed for. Praise God for the child that you prayed for. Praise God for the spouse that you prayed for. Praise God for the friends. Praise God for the church. Praise God for the calling. Praise God for the opportunities that you prayed for. Even if you're struggling in them, don't forget that they were once an answer to prayer. Am I right? And so, you know, each one of these things, they may bring their own set of problems, their own set of struggles, but that doesn't make them any less of a blessing or any less of a prayer that was once answered. You see, we once praised God for answering the prayer. And so that means we must continue to praise God when those answered prayers bring struggles with them. And here's the reality. Choosing to praise in our struggle, here's what it does. It's going to repurpose our struggle for God's glory. Now, that is hard sometimes. When we're going through it, when we're in the thick of it, it's really, really hard to praise him, to repurpose our struggles for his glory. So how do we accomplish that? How do we repurpose our problems, our struggles, our suffering, our pain, our hurt for the glory of God? How do we move from just heavy sighs and just, to spoken praise, to reaching out to God, to singing praise to God? I think one of the first things we got to begin to do, instead of looking and focusing on the problem and going, what happened? Like focusing just on what happened. We need to begin to shift our focus to why it happened. Or what is it happening for? And begin asking questions like, what is God trying to show me? What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to prepare me for? How will the struggle that I'm going through today prepare me for what I might go through tomorrow? And even more than that, how may my struggle not just help me, but help me come along somebody else who may be struggling with the same thing? I think another question to ask is this: is my response to the struggle, to the problem, to the pain, to whatever, is my response drawing me closer to God or further away from God? And take it one step further. Is my response, my reaction to what's happening, helping draw other people into a relationship with God? Or is it going, they say they have hope in God, but this problem, this struggle, it's saying something else? We begin to just change the perspective of what we're going through and giving it to God and saying, God, how can you use this? How can you use me in this? And with these questions, we shift. We shift from being the struggling victim to remembering that through Jesus, in all things, we are victorious. In all things. And as we do that, we move from just complaining about our story to being people who proclaim and praise God in his glory. And that's the attitude that we have to live in. Now, there's this story that displays this in the book of Acts in chapter 16. And in the story, there's the Apostle Paul and Silas. They find themselves in a bit of trouble. They were out doing their thing and proclaiming the message and going out and doing the missionary journeys. And they came across a young woman who was possessed by a spirit. And so in this moment, the woman was annoying Paul. And Paul's like, all right, I'm going to cast out the demon. And so he cast out the demon. And that girl was making money for this guy. And so they start this riot. And they're attacked and they're beaten and they're imprisoned. So we pick up this story in Acts 16, verse 22. Then the mob joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to keep them securely guarded. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains became loose. And you go, look at the power that praising has in the midst of struggle, in the midst of suffering. You see, praise has the power to free you from confinement and isolation that your struggle wants to keep you in. See, praise keeps you from being a prisoner to your struggles. And I think many of us, we get caught into that cycle of remaining a prisoner to what we're going through. And I'm going today, praise is the very thing that'll get you out of being a prisoner to it. And that's what we see take place with Paul and Silas. And we will find that continual praise, regardless of circumstance, that's a constant reminder of the one who sets captives free, of the one who holds all the keys and sets us free from spiritual and emotional and even physical struggles. In Luke 4, Jesus quotes from Isaiah 61, and it says this in verse 18. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so what that means is that Jesus is the one that sets captives free, that freedom is fulfilled in his death, in his resurrection for you and me. And as we experience the freedom, right, as we found, it can be found only in Jesus, here's what we have to do. We have to take every opportunity, whether it's in struggle or in blessing, if we've found the freedom, take every opportunity to help other people find freedom that can only be found in Jesus. So that means our reactions to difficult circumstances may be the very thing that brings someone else to the feet of Jesus. At the same time, your reaction could be the very thing that pushes someone away from Jesus. And so it's something to be very, very mindful of. Because I go, when we choose praise through the struggle, it has an opportunity to bring someone else to Jesus. And we want them to see the hope that we have found, and that doesn't waver or fade based off of circumstance or what we're going through. He is still our hope. He is still who we cling to. He is still who we praise. And so we have Paul and we have Silas, right? They're suffering in prison. Like, there's this physical suffering that takes place. But these two guys, guess what? They had already been set free. And this is so key. Yes, they were imprisoned, but they had already been set free by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They've been set free from the shackles of sin and also death. And so what that means is that no amount of earthly struggle could ever take that from them. And so even though they're struggling, even though they're suffering, guess what they hold on to? They hold on to the hope that they have found in Jesus. And their praise in the struggle, because they had this knowledge and they were willing to praise God in the midst of their struggling, their praise brought physical and spiritual freedom to someone else. So let's continue the story. So what happens is we just read that, you know, the doors were open and the chains came loose, right? And it's this answer probably to praise and prayer that was being released. And so there's this freedom at hand. And you go, okay, if you're in prison and your shackles fall off and the doors are opened, what are you going to do? You're just going to stay there and be like, well, maybe they'll fix that and come and put my shackles back on. No, you're going to be like, all right, God opened the door for me. And all of us are going, God set me free, so I'm getting out of here. What do Paul and Silas do? They remain where they're at. They're no longer shackled. They're no longer chained. The door's no longer closed. They use their opportunity for physical freedom to bring spiritual freedom to somebody else. So here's what, in verse 27, it says, when the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself. You got to understand, he was put in charge of the prisoners. He was given very, very strict orders, and it was on him. And so if all these prisoners go free, he's got to pay for it. It would probably be execution, or at the very least, he would be in prison. And so in this moment, he's going, I'm going to kill myself before they beat me and kill me, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But here's what Paul says. He cried out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself. All of us are still here, bro. Again, like the jailer even thinks, these dudes left as soon as that happened, but they're all still just sitting there. And so the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the message of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized, and he brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had believed God with his entire household. This is such a powerful story of what praise in our struggle can bring. So Paul and Silas' struggle becomes the jailer's salvation story. Not just the jailer's, but as you can see, his entire family. Instead of running, instead of fleeing, instead of getting out of there, Paul used his struggle to bring salvation to this man. The jailer thought this new problem, this new incident was going to end his life, would lead to his own imprisonment or execution, but Paul's praise through the struggle led him to new life in Jesus. And it's so powerful because the struggle became a story of salvation due to continual praise in the midst of struggle. And so there's two important lessons that we can pull from Paul's imprisonment praise. The first thing I would say, don't just try to flee or run away from your struggle. Don't try to, because God may want to do something in the midst of it. God may be working through it. God may say, hey, if you just hold on a little bit more, endure and persevere, I'm gonna do something in your life, or I'm gonna use what you're going through to impact somebody else. Don't just pray the struggle away. Praise God and ask him what he's doing in the midst of it. The other thing is, don't remain a prisoner to the struggle. Instead, choose praise through it and allow God to use your struggle to bring him glory by bringing someone else into his story. Because everything we go through, everything we deal with, is an opportunity for us to show someone what God means to us and the hope that we have found and the love that he has and the forgiveness and the grace. Again, it's all too easy to become a prisoner in our struggles, right? Because in our struggles, our hope wanes. When we're going through it, and it seems to be going on forever, our joy just, it fades, and we oftentimes just feel helpless. And the answer, I believe, is lifting up our prayers and lifting up our praises to the one who brings hope, who brings joy, who brings healing, who brings forgiveness, who brings love, who brings compassion, who brings mercy. We just lift it up to him, believing that whatever we're going through, God's going to work it out for the good of those who love him and offer him praise. Now, this imprisonment incident in Acts 16, it took place in Philippi. And right after this, the church in Philippi kind of launched from there. And so now years later, after Paul does his missionary journeys and starts all of his churches, he's writing to the same church. This is where we get the letter to the Philippians. He's writing to the Philippians, and guess where he's at when he's writing to the Philippians? You ready for it? In prison. So the dude's in prison again. And as you read through Philippians, you know what he still has? An attitude of praise. He continues to choose rejoicing and praising over self-pity and complaining. So again, like the first time he's in Philippi, Paul's praise freed others. Years later, he's imprisoned again, and his praise he's sending out to strengthen the church who is going through their own struggles and reminding them, hey, keep praising God for all that he's done, for all that he's doing, and all that he's going to do. You know that Paul's letter to the Philippians is often referred to as the epistle of joy. Epistle is just a fancy word for letter, by the way. The letter of joy. Because as you read through this letter, rejoicing resounds from just about every chapter written. And here's what we find in Philippians 4, verse 4 and 5. Here's what it says. You ready? And just remind yourself, this dude's in prison right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, just in case you didn't hear me, just in case you were wondering. Rejoice and let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I just leave that up there for just a minute. I want you to see the pattern. So he starts with rejoicing. And as you rejoice in your struggles, it'll bring about graciousness. And this rejoicing and this graciousness are built on this foundation of prayer. And all three of those things, guess what they result in? They result in the peace of God. Even in the midst of your struggle, the peace of God that guards your heart and guards your mind. And it's such a powerful thing. Let me say it this way. Praising brings God's peace into your struggles. In the moment when we want to panic, in the moment when we have lost all hope, in the moment when we think everything's falling apart, when we cry out to him and praise him for who he is and all he's done and what he's going to do, it's his peace that we receive in the midst of what we're going through. And so here's what this means. We, in the middle of whatever it is you're dealing with, you can choose praise and find peace, or you can choose bitterness and remain a prisoner to whatever you're going through. I can just tell you right now, that is not where God wants you to be living. Paul and Silas, they chose praise and they found peace in their struggle. And because they found peace in the midst of their struggle, it led to their graciousness, and their graciousness led to someone else giving their life to Jesus. Paul and here's the other thing about Paul and Silas. The reason that they found themselves in prison, you wanna know what they were doing? They were just doing the work of God. They were out proclaiming the gospel. And so they're out proclaiming the gospel and they're free. And then they're imprisoned. And guess what they keep doing? Proclaiming the gospel. Their imprisonment, their struggle, their suffering didn't keep them what God called them to. It became the purpose of their struggle. And then Paul kind of reiterates this. And if you go back to Philippians 1 now, verse 12, it says this. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, again, he's starting off his letter. What has happened to him? He's like, guess what, guys? I'm in prison again. No big shock. I know you guys have experienced this before. I'm writing to you from prison. I'm suffering. I'm struggling. So he's saying to them, what is currently going on in my life? My struggle has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel. And what a powerful perspective on what he's going through. And he says, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. But do you view your struggling that way? Do you view your suffering that way? Do you view what you're going through being something that could be for the cause of Christ? And at the same time, we go like, God knew that their struggle, that their imprisonment would eventually bring and lead someone to salvation. And he knew that God, and God knew that Paul understood this. Paul understood that trials can turn into triumph, that problems can turn into purpose, and that struggles can turn into salvation. And it wasn't only just for him, but it was also for others. Many, many, many others, as a matter of fact. So again, like, could your struggles be purpose for the cause of Christ? I mean, think about it, like your passion, your calling, the opportunities that you've been given with your job, with your relationships, with your family, with your community. Again, all those things will bring you face to face with struggles, but when we choose praise in the struggles, man, it can lead to hope and healing. Of course, for our lives, that's what we're desiring, hope and healing for our lives. But you got to understand, it goes far beyond just hope and healing in our lives. We get to display the hope and healing in struggle and hopefully bring hope and healing to the lives of others as well. Guys, you probably know this, but praise is contagious. And I think for us as Jesus followers, right, we have the greatest hope to be thankful for, to praise God for. Like, we have been given new life. We have been forgiven of our sin. Jesus died for us, and we have professed him as our Lord and Savior. So we have the greatest hope, and I think praise should resound from us. And as people come around us, they should want to praise too. And you look at Paul and Silas's journey, like, they start rejoicing, and their rejoicing leads to the prisoner or the jailer and his family all rejoicing. And then anywhere Paul goes, you know what he's saying? Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in what he's doing. But Paul, you've been beaten. You've been imprisoned. You've been stoned. It's okay. I'm rejoicing because God is still good. And he still set me free. And I know I have. Paul's saying, I know I have and will receive the crown of life, that eternal glory that awaits me one day. Our praise as Christ followers should be contagious. In the midst of what you're going through, consider who's watching. Consider who's listening and who's taking notes. And then ask yourself, do they experience praising or complaining? Do they get to see peace or panic? Do they find graciousness or bitterness? I'll tell you this right now, our praise has the power to reshape the environments that we inhabit. It starts here in our heart, praise from here, but also in our home, in our marriage, with our kids, in our workplace, and absolutely within our church. And when we practice praise together, man, the struggle bus becomes a place of more joy, of more hope, of more peace, of more graciousness, of more just a welcoming atmosphere. And I think the greatest thing we gotta understand is that the praise makes us more united, not just in our struggles, united in the fact that we are praising through our struggles. So my encouragement today, from the praises that you've sent in, from the praise that you see in the story in Acts, is that you would resolve to never allow your struggles to steal your praise. And that your praise would be something that is contagious and shapes the environments that you inhabit. Church, would you pray with me? God, today we come to you thankful and grateful for all that you are and all that you do. First and foremost, that you love us, that you care for us, that you saw us in our sin but didn't leave us there but chose to save us. Thank you for your son Jesus who left heaven, came down to earth, died on the cross for our sins though he was sinless, and rose again 3 days later so that we could be forgiven and be brought back into relationship with God through him. That is the greatest gift. That is the thing that we should praise every day of our lives until one day we get to be with you in heaven. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for love. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for compassion. Thank you for the ways that you work in us and work through us. Thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for using our struggles to teach us, to prepare us for what may come down the road. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of your story and calling us and giving us a purpose to bring you glory through our life, through our struggle, through our blessing. Thank you for the gift of praise, that we can cry out to you and sing to you and come to you no matter what we're going through. God, we thank you for provision of all things, provision of relationships, provision of our home, of our car, of our job, of our family, of our loved ones, of our finances. God, thank you for provision exactly when we need provision. That is only provided because of you and who you are. God, thank you for healing in our lives. Thank you for protection in our lives. Thank you for the hope that you give us day after day after day when we struggle. God, may we never stop praising you. May we never stop thanking you. God, today, even though we struggle, even though we're going through something, may we cry out to you and say, God, you are still good. And I don't like what I'm going through, and I don't like what I'm experiencing, but I know because of who you are and how much you love me that you've got my back in this. So I'm going to keep praising. And God, I pray that you use my struggle. I pray that you use my reaction. I pray that you use my praise to bring hope and joy and healing to the life of somebody else. God, let me be a vessel of praise to you. And all that I say, in all that I do, and all that I go through, may I continue to praise the name of Jesus who changed everything in my life. And it's in his mighty name that I pray. Amen.